So if you look at the radar screen of software development right now, the blips on the monitor are they're moving so incredibly fast, they honestly look like system glitches.
Oh, absolutely. It's wild.
Yeah, you sort of find yourself tapping the glass, wondering if the machine is just broken. And actually, to prove just how fast this landscape is moving, I want to let you know right up front that this entire deep dive you're listening to today is actually AI generated.
Which is incredibly fitting, given what we're talking about today.
Right, exactly. We are using the very technology we're about to discuss. And frankly, it's just the best way to take all this dense, data-heavy research we have and, make it genuinely consumable for you.
Yeah, it is the perfect format for this mission. I mean, today we are unpacking this really highly anticipated high signal report. It's called the OSS Vector Summer 2026.
From repository radar, right?
Yes. Published by Repository Radar and authored by Alexander Kramer and Claudia Seitz. And what makes this research so uniquely valuable is their methodology. Like, they aren't just randomly scraping GitHub and measuring social media buzz or whatever.
Right, which anyone can do.
Exactly. They handpicked 242 high-signal open-source repositories to track the actual practical evolution of software. They're looking at real commits, real downloads, and authentic momentum to see, what developers are actually building with on the ground.
But before we can get into the specific tools driving this evolution, I feel like we really need to clarify a massive shift in what the phrase hottest software even means today.
Oh, yeah, the landscape has totally changed.
Because the report drops this staggering statistic right out of the gate. They found that roughly 9 in 10 of these high signal repositories are AI native. Now, I need to pause and explicitly clarify this for you because it is incredibly easy to misinterpret.
Right, people hear that and panic a little.
Exactly, but this does not mean that 90% of every single repository on GitHub is suddenly an AI project. The internet has not entirely converted to artificial intelligence overnight.
No, far from it. I mean, most legacy enterprise software is still just chugging along, doing what it has always done.
Yeah, so what that 9 in 10 statistic actually means is that when you isolate the absolute bleeding edge, like the most novel, highest momentum projects being created right now, 90% of them are operating entirely in the AI space.
Right.
They're dealing with AI-specific architectural problems. A non-AI repository moving at this velocity is, well, it's now the absolute exception to the rule.
And that hyper-focus on this sector has just completely shattered traditional software adoption timelines. I mean, it used to take years of evangelism for an open-source project to hit critical mass, build a community, get to enterprise readiness.
Oh, totally.
Years and years. But now, because AI acts as this sort of compounding accelerator, that timeline has been radically compressed. We are witnessing what the authors actually call a vertical climb in adoption.
Yeah, the report highlights a group they call the 100K Club, which are these repositories crossing 100,000 stars on GitHub. And the examples are just mind-blowing. Like, take a project called OpenClaw.
Oh, OpenClaw is a crazy one.
Right. It went from 4,000 stars to over 383,000 stars in just 6 months. That is almost a hundredfold increase in half a year. And then you have Hermes Agent, which essentially went from a standing start to 215,000 stars in 3 months.
I mean, it is the steepest adoption curve we've ever tracked in open source history.
But, I have to push back on those numbers just a little bit. Historically, hitting six figures was a monumental multi-year community effort. With numbers inflating this quickly, are developers just starring these repositories out of FOMO, like some fear of missing out on the AI gold rush? Or is there an actual functioning ecosystem forming around these tools practically overnight?
Yeah, that is the natural skeptical response for sure. But the underlying telemetry actually points to deep systemic adoption. This isn't just a fluke isolated to OpenClaw and Hermes Agent.
Okay, so it's broader than that.
Much broader. If you look at the rest of the fast risers, the list is remarkably deep and honestly incredibly active in terms of code contributions. You have tools like OpenCode and LangFlow.
LangFlow is the one that lets developers visually map out AI pipelines, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
And then there is Firecrawl, which handles massive web scraping for AI models. You've got Claude Code, Spec-Kit, Llama.cpp for running models locally.
Oh, Llama.cpp is everywhere right now.
It really is. And then you add in Gemini CLI and browser use, which actually lets an AI navigate a web browser on its own. These repos aren't just getting bookmarked. They're being actively installed, heavily forked, and integrated into these massive production systems.
And because these tools are growing so unbelievably fast, the fundamental way developers actually deploy AI has changed. Like, we've finally moved away from just playing with isolated novelty chatbots on a website. Developers are building massive, coordinated, autonomous systems now.
And that architectural shift is just perfectly reflected in the data. If you categorize all this frantic building we're seeing, the single biggest bucket by far is agents and orchestration.
Yeah, the report said it makes up 38% of the entire frontier field.
Exactly. Representing 92 individual repositories in this tracking set alone.
And just to give you a sense of scale on that, that single category of agents and orchestration is bigger than coding tools, infrastructure, and RAG combined.
It's massive.
But we really need to redefine what we mean by the agent category today. Because when we say agents, we aren't talking about random, standalone, autonomous bots wandering around the internet trying to complete tasks.
No, not at all.
We were talking about robust platforms, right? We're talking about harness layers.
Yeah, because the individual AI agent itself has almost become a commodity at this point. The actual engineering value is in the harness. A harness layer is basically the platform that helps you manage, govern, and multiplex one or perhaps dozens of agents simultaneously.
So how does that harness actually work mechanically? I mean, what is it doing that the agent just can't do on its own?
Well, think of the agent as a very smart, but very easily distracted worker.
Okay, I like that.
The harness is the framework that manages the state of that worker. It assigns the task, provides all the necessary context, and crucially catches errors when the agent inevitably hallucinates. Then it routes the output to the next agent in the assembly line.
Got it. So it's the manager.
Exactly. And we're seeing massive traction for orchestration frameworks doing this, like Copilot Kit, Mastra, and Ruflow. Then you have these really robust coordination layers like MDASH, HERD, Superset, and CC Switch.
And they just exist to coordinate the chaos of multiple models talking to each other.
Yeah. Now, highly autonomous agents do still exist within this bucket, to be clear. Projects like Agency Agents are huge, and Eliza is actually shipping the highest number of code commits per week of any project on the board. But crucially, they're designed to operate within these larger, structured harnesses.
Which introduces a fascinating, highly practical problem, I think. Because when you have all these agents running inside a harness, passing data back and forth, and looping through these complex tasks, they are consuming a massive amount of data.
Oh, a ton of data.
And in the AI ecosystem, data consumption means burning tokens. Burning tokens means burning your cloud budget. So this entirely new, surprising subcategory has sprung up purely to shrink the massive bills these agent swarms generate.
Right, the token cost economy. It is a category that simply didn't exist in any meaningful way a year ago.
That's wild.
Yeah, I mean, per token computing prices have actually stayed relatively flat, but the sheer volume of tokens these swarms consume to solve complex problems is staggering. Mm. The monthly cloud bill itself became the engineering problem to solve.
So developers are flocking to repositories like Headroom, RTK, Context Mode, and Codeburn. I mean, it sounds like we've moved from hiring a single eager intern to needing an entire HR department just to manage the agents and keep them from blowing the corporate budget on unnecessary computational paperclips.
That is a perfect analogy. The management layer is where all the friction lives now. But, you know, an assembly line of agents can't do meaningful work. They can't manage a project without hallucinating wildly or getting stuck in an endless loop unless you solve two critical structural problems.
Okay, what are those?
They desperately need long-term memory, and they need a standardized way to talk to external tools.
Which introduces a massive architectural divide that the report highlights. Let's dig into memory first, because the way we think about AI context has shifted completely, hasn't it?
It has. For the last couple of years, the whole industry really leaned on eye retrieval augmented generation.
Right.
And Argray is fundamentally just a very smart search engine for your AI. Mm-hmm. It answers the question, what documents in our database are relevant to this specific query right now? It pulls those documents and feeds them to the model. But persistent memory has finally split away from basic RAG.
So it's doing something different now.
Yeah, it's no longer just about retrieving relevant documents. It's answering, what does this specific agent already know from its past interactions?
Oh, I see. It's like the difference between looking up a recipe in a cookbook every single time you want to make dinner versus actually learning how to cook and remembering that, hey, you burnt the garlic the last time you made that specific dish.
Exactly. When agents run continuously rather than just answering one-off questions in a chat window, memory becomes its own distinct product layer. We see this in breakout repositories like CloudMem, Agent Memory, and CoCoindex, which handle that persistent state over time.
Right.
And we are seeing it applied deeply to software engineering with this concept of code as a graph. Projects like Understand Anything and Code Graph are runaway successes here.
How does that work, the code as a graph thing?
So instead of just chopping up text files to search through, they turn an entire massive code base into a structured, interconnected map. The agent can intelligently traverse that map to understand how, you know, changing a variable in one file will break a function in a completely different folder.
That is incredible. Okay, so the agents have their harnesses to keep them on track, and they finally have real persistent memory. But they still need to actually execute actions out in the real world. They need to fetch live data or push a button. And this brings us to what the report identifies as the connective tissue layer.
Yes, the connective tissue.
And quietly, this layer has become the most installed corner of the entire field.
Yeah, this is the MCP layer, or the Model Context Protocol. It is a standardized way to give an agent a tool. Rather than writing custom integration code every time you want an AI to check a calendar or read a database, MCP just provides a universal adapter.
That makes so much sense.
And the adoption numbers for this protocol are just staggering. FastMCP alone is pulling in 19 million downloads a week.
Wait, 19 million a week?
19 million every single week. And right behind it, you have Playwright MCP for web automation, Chrome DevTools MCP, and FastAPI MCP.
Well, naturally, once you establish standardized tools that easily plug into any agent, you get marketplaces. I mean, we're seeing hubs like Agents Marketplace, TasteSkill, and agents spring up right on top of this connective tissue.
Yeah, and this kind of aggressive standardization where the entire industry just agrees on exactly how the tools should plug in, that is the classic hallmark of an ecosystem maturing into a true app store environment.
Wait. I need to pause you there because this sounds like an absolute operational nightmare to me. If everyone is just downloading these standard connective tissues and letting millions of autonomous agents loose to interact with real databases and external APIs, aren't we just creating a massive, unpredictable liability?
That sounds chaotic, yeah.
Like, how are people actually managing this in a production business environment without everything just crashing?
Well, that anxiety is exactly why the infrastructure layer had to grow up overnight. The report shows the rapid rise of this measure and run layer. Questions like, did the agent actually do the job correctly? And can we scale this to a million users? Have evolved from afterthought questions into massive standalone software categories.
Right. Because an agent failing silently, or worse, confidently doing the wrong thing in a production environment is a complete disaster.
Exactly. So for the measure side of things, the observability, we are seeing explosive growth in tools like MLflow, which is hitting 10 million downloads a week. Then there's DeepEvil and TensorZero.
How does something like DeepEvil work?
DeepEvil is a great example of this mechanism. Instead of a human manually reading the AI's output to see if it makes sense, tools like DeepEvil mathematically score the AI's answer against a set of predefined metrics. It ensures it isn't hallucinating or, you know, leaking sensitive data.
That's brilliant.
And on the run side, actually routing the traffic and keeping the servers from melting, you have gateways and serving kernels. Like NLM's the absolute behemoth here.
Oh, I've heard of that one.
Yeah, it's tracking at 170 million installs a week. It acts as a load balancer, quietly routing API calls to hundreds of different models so that if one provider goes down, your application seamlessly falls back to another without the end user ever noticing.
Wow.
You also have OmniRoute and FlashInfer managing the extreme complexities of serving these models at scale.
But this robust infrastructure isn't just serving enterprise developers in the back end anymore, though. Because that underlying plumbing is finally stable and standardized, it is empowering a massive shift in how these tools are delivered directly to everyday users.
Yes, this is a huge pivot.
And this is where the report gets incredibly fascinating for anyone who isn't a hardcore developer.
We are seeing a definitive shift from open source libraries to fully polished products.
Right, because in the past, an open source project mostly meant a raw library of code that another developer would have to import and compile just to build their own application.
Yeah, lots of terminal windows.
Exactly. But today, a staggering 39% of these high signal repositories are shipping as runnable builds. We are talking about desktop apps, web apps, and native binaries that a normal person can just click, install, and use immediately. Only 19% of this frontier field remains as import-only libraries.
And a major mechanical driver of this productization is the heavy push for local-first AI models.
I'm glad you brought that up because I want to explicitly correct a common misconception here about that local-first trend. When people hear local AI, they usually assume it's entirely for massive enterprise workflows.
Right, like big banks or hospitals.
Exactly, trying to hide highly sensitive financial or medical data behind a corporate firewall. But that completely misses the real momentum. This local-first push is heavily, heavily driven by consumer apps.
It really is.
Everyday people want to run highly capable intelligence right on their personal laptops or their phones, entirely for their own personal privacy, zero latency, and, let's be real, the convenience of not paying a monthly subscription.
Yeah, open source went consumer. It is now competing head-to-head with heavily funded software-as-a-service companies. And they aren't just competing on the quality of the underlying code anymore. They are competing on UI polish, on sleek design, ease of use, and the actual end-user experience.
The heavyweight product repositories they highlight prove this out entirely, too. You have Open Web UI, which is a massive, beautifully designed interface for running local models.
Oh, Open Web UI is fantastic.
It is. You have Image, which is an open-source AI-powered replacement for cloud photo storage that analyzes your images locally. You've got Meetly for desktop note-taking, Orca, Rear, and VoiceBox.
And VoiceBox leaves the pack there with 1.2 million binary downloads for audio generation.
Just crazy numbers. Then there's Onluck, Kitten TTS, Jan, World Monitor, Dyad, OpenTofu, and Unsloth, which actually makes fine-tuning models locally much faster and more efficient. These aren't clunky developer experiments. They are polished, consumer-ready products.
It completely resets the expectation of the buyer. The open source project isn't just a dependency hidden in the background anymore. It is the final destination for the consumer.
But that begs a very practical question, honestly. Who is actually building these incredibly polished, complex, agent-driven platforms? The answer to that is perhaps the most surprising part of the whole report.
Yeah, the demographics are really interesting.
Let's set the stage with the languages they use first. Python still dominates the field with 44%, mostly because it is the native language of the models themselves. TypeScript sits at 30%, dominating that crucial product and UI side we just talked about. And Rust is at 9%, quietly taking over the performance and latency layer underneath it all because of its memory safety and speed.
But the real shock isn't the programming language, is it?
No, it's not.
It's the human element.
Yeah.
Specifically what developers call the bus factor.
Right. And for those who haven't heard the term, the bus factor is a slightly grim thought experiment in software engineering. It asks, how many key developers would have to get hit by a bus for a project to completely die and stop receiving updates?
Yeah, and the report notes that 42% of these cutting-edge projects, nearly half of the absolute bleeding edge of open source, effectively have a single active committer.
A bus factor of exactly one.
A bus factor of one.
It is so easy to look at a statistic like that and assume the entire ecosystem is fragile, like a house of cards just waiting to collapse. But if we flip the perspective, here is where it gets really incredible.
Okay.
It is absolutely astounding how much leverage a single human developer has today.
It's unprecedented.
One or two people sitting at a laptop are driving complex, highly polished tools that are being downloaded and used by millions of people globally. Because they are using AI coding assistants themselves, it's an unprecedented level of individual human output.
The tooling has effectively turned the individual developer into a powerhouse production studio. You see projects like trading agents or even the massively popular Open Web UI we mentioned earlier being driven incredibly heavily by effectively one main author.
Which is just wild to think about.
Now, there are always exceptions to this. Image, the photo management app, is the golden child of community health here, boasting over 100,000 stars and a broad, highly active base of over 900 contributors.
Oh, wow.
But in this new high-velocity landscape, massive teams are becoming the exception, not the rule.
And when we look at where these projects are originating globally, the report highlights two massive, distinct engines driving the frontier forward.
Right. On one side, you have United States big tech acting as a major origin point. We're talking about the heavyweights pushing out foundational pieces like Codex, Claude Code, and OpenAI agents. They are leveraging their massive capital to make a land grab for developer mindshare.
But on the other side, you have China origin laboratories and tech giants that are shipping open source tooling at an absolutely incredible cadence.
Yeah, they are moving fast.
Groups like HKUDS, which is actually the most featured builder overall in this entire report, along with Deerflow, UiPars, Quen3, OpenBMB, DeepSeek, and ByteDance. The sheer speed at which they are iterating on agent tooling and releasing it to the public is just phenomenal.
It's a global sprint to define the architecture of the next decade.
Truly. And just to make sure you have the complete map of what is currently buzzing on their radar screen, we have to shout out a few more repositories that are dominating output and attention right now, just to round out the tracking set. Projects like PyMono, Hermes Wibui, Oh My Open Code, and Code Whale. The volume of complex code these projects are merging week in and week out is staggering to watch.
So when we zoom out, what does this massive data set actually synthesize into?
Well, it tells us that open source is no longer just the underlying plumbing for corporate software. It has really become the primary distribution layer for artificial intelligence. The perceived value has shifted away from simply building a foundational model and moved rapidly up the stack.
Right.
The value is now in the agent harnesses, the token management systems, the connective tissue, and these highly polished, consumer-ready local apps. And the engine driving all of this innovation isn't necessarily massive corporate teams in boardrooms, but wildly productive solo developers armed with AI themselves.
Yeah, whether you are an engineer planning the architecture of your next build, an investor looking for the next major platform shift, or just someone trying to understand where consumer technology is heading tomorrow, this specific slice of 242 repositories is your leading indicator.
It is the radar screen. And those fast-moving blips aren't system glitches. They are the new standard velocity of software. But, you know, I want to leave you with a final thought to mull over as you explore these tools on your own. We've talked extensively about how solo developers have unprecedented leverage because they are using autonomous coding agents and code as a graph tools to build faster than ever before. So considering the sheer speed of this evolution, how long will it be until these open source projects are being maintained, updated, debugged, and governed not by a solo human developer, but by the very AI agents they helped create? When does the blip on the radar start steering the ship entirely on its own? Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive.